teaching by David Ebal is titled Three Ways to Mate.
When I studied in that songbook a number of the songs, I noticed that they used the word spirit and soul interchangeably in the song according to the way they rhymed. How many know that a lot of people are still using the word spirit and soul interchangeably? Like some kind of a green ectoplasm that floats away when you die. The Bible is very, very explicit when it uses the words spirit and soul. We're teaching a lesson tonight that will be very, very valuable to every person here. But this will be especially valuable to those who are with us tomorrow morning. Did you say at 9 o'clock? Like I said, all my friends are fanatics. And tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we'll be talking about mating in the spirit, mating in the soul, and mating in the body as far as marriages are concerned. Tonight, we're going to have some scriptures that have to do with the differences between the spirit and the soul and the body. After I met Brother Charles just a few minutes ago, we ran back and made a drawing. This picture, here he is. There he is. Now, you know that that's Brother Charles because of the big heart. Yeah, all right. Well, what's this? That's the soul. Mind, intellect, will, emotion, attitude, the center. The word is psyche. How many have heard of the word psyche? If I were referring to his heart or spirit, I would use the word pneuma. Psyche in the Greek for the soul, the mind, intellect, will, emotion, attitude. How many have heard of a psychiatrist, a psychologist, psychiatric, psycho? It has to do with the mind or soul. And the Bible uses the word soul. Every time it uses the word soul, the authors of the Bible knew what they were saying and did not use the word soul and spirit interchangeably, but worked on them separately. But we don't. Are you hearing me? And because we don't look at them separately, you and I get into a lot of theological arguments. Well, I don't know whether I can get away with that or not. We're all one body, one faith, one hope, but an awful lot of funny ideas of theological arguments. Now turn to the one next to you and say, you don't look to me like you got any funny ideas. I'm speaking of that in the theological realm. The scriptures that have to do with the heart have to do with the spirit. And whenever the Bible refers to torso organs, hidden man of the heart, the eternal man, the true man, out of your innermost part shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the, say it, spirit. These all have to do not with soul nor with body. Torso organs have to do with the residing place of the spirit. Turn to the one next to you and say, your spirit's in your belly. Your heart, your torso organs. Now, am I making this up, or did Jesus tell you that? Come on. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, if you die, your body goes back to dust, but your spirit
goes
goes back to God who gave it in the first place. Come on. Write that down. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Check it out. The Spirit came from God. The Spirit goes back to God. And so can I say it this way? I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in this body. This body is not me. I am a spirit. I came from God in spirit. If I die, my spirit goes back to God. I came from God. Now, if you didn't understand that, I am God's gift to Long Island. In what realm? But there's quite a question about the other realms. In soul or body, you'll have to make up your mind about that later. In spirit, when Jesus saved me, He came into my heart, spirit, and I was saved. Now, I want to establish something before you tonight, and I want you to know I am perfect. Now, some of you didn't catch that. You see, you're still judging me after the flesh by what you can see or smell, taste, and feel. But Paul said, from now on, I'll judge no man after the flesh. I'll know him not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And in spirit, I am perfect because Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ has washed every past sin, is covered, and as far as God is concerned, when He looks at David Ebal, He says, there's a perfect man. Because God is spirit, and I am spirit. And then when He judges me, He judges my spirit. However, I'm still in this body. And it's very obvious that I have a soul that's not perfect yet. Did you notice? And my body is subject to the bondage of corruption. Turn to the one next to you and say, your body is subject to the bondage of corruption. All creation groans, according to the Bible, waiting for the, say it, manifestation of the rapture. All creation groans, waiting for Sunday school. All creation groans, waiting for the airplane to take off. No, all creation groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You read that in Romans 8 and you'll discover that the manifestation of the sons of God is at the time when this body puts on incorruption. This which is mortal puts on immortality. This which is corruptible puts on incorruption. And we shall be changed. Now the church is not waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The church is not waiting. Talking about the structured society. The Bible says all creation groans waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, but the church is waiting for other things. Say it. And other things. I didn't want to use that word. The church is teaching us theology from the quartet. Guitar players. I'm not finding fault with quartets. It's just that I love to come to places where they sing scriptures out of the Bible instead of the psalm book. You can't get mixed up in your soul mind when you get scriptures worked into you instead of number 45 in the psalm book. And why is that? Well, for the last several hundred years, songwriters have been using their vocabularies as best they could. And only recently have we begun to notice the difference between the spirit and the soul and the body. A lot of people notice the body. The Scriptures teach that the eternal man came from God and resides in the torso, organs. You have been given a soul to develop. Your salvation and getting to heaven has nothing to do with how smart you get. It has to do only with the fact whether or not you let Jesus Christ in your heart. It's just that simple, and that's all. The salvation of your spirit. Someone turn to James 1:21 for just a minute and read that scripture to me. James 1:21. While you're turning, let me set an example for you. James wrote the book of James to the brethren, the members of the church, scattered abroad, greetings. When James wrote to the brethren, they were members of the church, they had Jesus in the heart, they were saved, they were even baptized the right way. I'll just wait and see who'd laugh at that. Whether you caught that or not.
Therefore lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of noisiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls.
The engrafted word is able to save your
souls.
That was written to people who were already saved. Now somebody said, huh. Look at that and say, huh. They were already saved. They were in the church. They gave their heart to Jesus, and they needed further salvation of their souls. Come on now. These people needed further changing in the soul-mind realm, even though they were already saved. How many understood that? Then turn to the one next to you and say, you need to get your soul saved. That didn't go over very good, so let me try it another way. How many of you in times past have given your heart to Jesus or done some kind of a religious experience which caused an awakening in your consciousness of the claims of Jesus Christ on your life? How many have had such an experience? Raise your hands. Raise your hands high. Thank you. Put them down. Now, how many get stupid thoughts? Raise your hands. Same guys. Everywhere I go, it's the same guys. What's the reason? When Jesus saved you, He saved your spirit. Now you need further salvation of your
soul
by receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, change your mind. Now you whisper to the one next to you, and you say, you need more engrafted word. And what'll that do for him? Change your mind. Change your soul. Give you right ideas and right attitudes. Now, in this realm, am I saying that you have to develop an IQ of 120? That you have to become a genius, write books, compose songs? Is that what we're talking about? Any time a type of intellectual achievement? No, sir. I'm talking about attitude changes. And those attitude changes always result whenever you receive more of the engrafted word. How many of you have read a certain scripture 19 times and didn't know what it meant? Then the Holy Ghost came upon it. Glory! It changed you. From that point on, the things you once loved, now you hate. The things you hated, now you love. And you've had an attitude change. Praise God. Now raise your hand and say, that's right. You've had the engrafted word. You need more of it. And more of it. And more of it. To go through 7 major attitude changes. And Peter said, add to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness. The godliness, phileo love, and phileo love, agape love. And Peter said, you'll never fail, fall, or die. Now that should have shocked you. You cannot die when you're an agape lover. You can't die when you're an agape lover. Now let me look them over again just a minute. I can't see anyone here that I'd like to see dead. Turn around and look at each other for a minute, will you please? Is there anyone here that you'd like to see dead? Are they here tonight? But it's a good thing I don't know you. Because I might not be able to talk this way about situations in our life. We began to see some things. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and the word of God will divide soul from spirit, joint from marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." How many know I'm telling the truth? A friend of mine named Paul was praying for his friends in Thessalonians 5:23, and he said, "And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and," say it, "body might be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord." I pray that your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body might be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Does that sound like a pretty good prayer request to you? How many have ever prayed for the whole spirit and the whole soul and the whole body to be preserved blameless? Do you know that if you pray that prayer, whole spirit, whole soul, whole body, and that prayer is answered, then you're going to overcome the last enemy, which is death, and you'll be here at the coming of the Christ, and you'll be perfect. And Jesus said to him that overcometh, "Will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am sitting in my Father's throne." The implications of that scripture are heresy. For if you sit in the throne that Jesus sits in, which is the throne that the Father sits in, then you are sitting in the throne of the Godhead. And that's heresy. Paul said, "I follow Christ after the way called heresy." Come on. Did he say it or not? And I looked up heresy and found out heresy is believing in theology that is not according to the mainstream. Turn to the one next to you and say, "You look like a heretic." Now I know that you're a bunch of heretics because you're here. If you were in the mainstream, you'd be satisfied in your structured church already. Now turn to the one next to you and say, "That proves you're a heretic." Because you have already decided that there's something about the mainstream that's not going to take you where you want to go. There's something about the mainstream that takes its adherents back to the mainstream and causes them to support their own structure. But there's something about following the Holy Ghost that leads you to places you've never been before. Where eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, it hasn't even entered into the heart of man, where the Holy Ghost is going to lead him.
Hallelujah.
The things that God has prepared for us. I was warned to stay in the mainstream, because that's where the security is. As a preacher, how many understand that? That's where security is. The mainstream. Well, it was the Holy Spirit that opened my eyes in the first place. It's the Holy Spirit that continues to open my eyes even tonight. And shows me new things even tonight that I can't get out of the mainstream. Because they've already written everything they know in the quarterly. And I'll surely never get where I have not seen their ear heard through the quarterly. Now, come on now. I'll give you a chance to react. I pull some jokes on you every once in a while, but I want to slow down a minute because I don't want to leave anybody. And you'll notice something else about me, too, while I teach. I look at you. Have you noticed that? I look right in your eyes. If you don't remember anything else, remember Ebal looks at the eyeball. What's he looking for? I'm looking for that spark of life. When I say the right thing, and I see somebody's eyes jump like that, and they say, that's it. That's the answer I've been looking for. And I prayed for you tonight, and I prayed that no one would go out the door the way they came in. I prayed that you'd get that spark of life to be some word that the Holy Ghost might anoint this Bible teacher to give you an answer for the problem that you're dealing with tonight. Oh, that didn't go over. You don't have any problems. No one here has problems. All right, for all the people that don't have any problems tonight, I want the one next to you to turn to you and say, you're a liar. Studying the scriptures, we found out that the soul, mind, intellect, will, emotion, attitude is saved as the Holy Ghost engrafts the Word of God. The Spirit is saved as Jesus Christ enters the Spirit heart. The mind is saved as the Holy Ghost engrafts the Bible, the Word. Now, that didn't make sense. How many found it did make sense? You've got to have Jesus in your heart first. Then it's expedient for you that I go away so the Father can send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and He will, watch me, teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. Now, do you teach a heart? Do you remember in a heart? You remember in a... You teach a mind. You see what I'm doing? Every scripture in the Bible that is a reference to the Holy Ghost is a reference to the Holy Spirit moving on the soul, mind of man. When Jesus moves upon man, He moves upon the heart. How many have heard the word Trinity? How many know the word Trinity is extra-biblical? What's extra-biblical mean? Outside the Bible. Like rapture. Religious terms that express ideas that are not biblical terms. How many understood what I just said? But when we say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, is anyone here offended if I say it that way? No one here is offended? There are places that I go where I, you know, get some reaction at that stage. So I just want to find out if I can say that God in the person of Jesus Christ entered your heart. God in the person of the Holy Ghost is presently changing your mind or saving your soul.
Hallelujah.
God, with the presence of the glory of God the Father, wants to inhabit your physical body. And the Bible is cram-packed full of scriptures of the glory of God the Father that is promised to those who will go through the changes necessary in the soul-mind realm after having first gone through the changes in the heart-spirit. There are some people here who are going to be perfect in spirit and soul and body. Now turn to the one next to you and say, why not you? Why not you? Why not you? Now think to yourself, why not me? There's a generation that's going to do it. I happen to believe that that's this generation. I happen to believe that I'm talking to people here tonight, some of whom will not die. I believe that I'm talking to some people who are going to overcome the last enemy, which is death. I believe I'm talking to some people who are going to actually receive enough of the engrafted word to change their minds, save their souls, and then have the glory of the Father in their physical bodies. Turn to the one next to you and say, get busy on the word, Buster. Changing your mind through the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Adding to yourself those seven attitude changes, which will operate and change your mind. Back to Charles for just a minute. You'll notice that this mind is connected with a dotted line to the mouth. You'll also notice that the heart is connected with a dotted line to the mouth. I may notice that in the picture. When he speaks from the spirit, he's always been right. When he speaks from the heart spirit, he's never been wrong. When he speaks out of his mind. Maybe half and half. When he's doing good.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.